Lecture 2. The Greek Way of War.
In this lecture, I plan to introduce the Greek Way of War. And this is largely concerning land battles. I'll have a lecture dealing with naval warfare in a coming series. And the reason this lecture is important is, well, obviously, with the Peloponnesian War, you need to know how the belligerents fought. And I plan three major points in this lecture. The first is, how did Greek soldiers fight? And this is largely infantry combat. It depended on heavy infantry known as hoplites. The second point that comes out of this is this unusual type of fighting. And certainly to the peoples of the ancient Near East, such as the kings of Persia and their predecessors, the pharaohs of Egypt, the kings of Assyria, would have found this style of Greek warfare rather peculiar because it had major political and social implications. And so the second point about this lecture is how this type of warfare was so closely tied to the Greek city-state, the polis, or in the plural, the polis, which is the fundamental building block of all Greek political institutions. And then the third point is, how did the Peloponnesian War characterize this type of fighting and at the same time see major changes and innovations? And that is an extremely important point, because the type of fighting that went on between 431 and 404 BC was not characteristic of the traditional clashes among city-states. These were two major belligerents with great alliance structures behind them and resources that had ended up in a war of attrition that really changed forever the style of fighting in the Greek world. So let's go to our first point, which is, how did the Greeks arm themselves? How did they go into combat? Who are these hoplites? Well, the hoplite refers to, or in Greek, hopletes, refers to a heavily armed warrior, and the principal defensive measure was a shield. The shield was unusual because, unlike many shields in the ancient Near East, where it was held in the middle, the Greek shield, the hoplon, the heavy shield, which was made of wood and reinforced with bronze and leather, as back padding. The shield was strapped on the left shoulder and the handle was at the far right end. So one, in effect, put their left arm through the shield strap and grasped the shield at the far end of it so that that shield could be much larger than all previous shields that we have in the ancient Near East. One essentially held it with the strength of the shoulder and of the hand and the arm. That gave you a great deal more protection. And the classic hoplite shield may have been about 4 feet in diameter, and it extended on your left side far out and offered protection to the man standing next to you. The hoplite was also protected with a breast and back plate. He had greaves, which extended from his ankles up to his knees, and he wore a helmet. And many of these helmets really encase the head. There are only little slits for the eyes. You're pretty much impaired in your vision in combat. And this full panoply, meaning the full armor, has come down to us in excavations. There's a panoply that was uncovered dating from around the early end of the 8th century BC, about 725 BC from Argos. And it is consistently depicted on Greek vase painting. The earliest Greek vase that shows hoplite combat is a Corinthian vase known as the Chigi vase. It comes out of an Etruscan tomb from about 680 BC. And there you see armed warriors standing shoulder to shoulder with the distinct hoplite shield, because one side is shown carrying the shield, as I mentioned, with the strap and the handle, and fighting at distance with a 8-foot spear. And the primary attack weapon was a spear. Not the sword, not the dagger. Those were weapons that were only used in the final analysis when the battle had gone on for far longer than anyone expected. The spears were broken. You pull out your swords and you start fighting at close quarters. And that was generally unusual, at least in the early hoplite clashes among Greek citizen armies. When we talk about the Persian Wars and the final stand of the Spartans in Thermopylae, we're told by Herodotus that the fighting was so vicious and so lengthy that the Spartans in the end were killing the Persians with their swords, which is very unusual for Greeks to be doing.